All right, let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6 tonight. Proverbs 6, we're returning to this passage tonight, and God willing, in a couple weeks, we'll come back again to Proverbs chapter 6. So we'll be looking at verses 16 through 19. Been here a little bit, kind of been going through the book of Proverbs, and kind of put it in a little, not park, but slow, if you will, low, maybe low gear. And inching our way through these things that God says that He hates. And the idea here is to, if God hates them, then we ought to hate them. Amen? Amen. So Proverbs chapter 6, notice verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for this evening. It's a joy to be in Your house tonight. It's been a joy just to pray together, to sing together, to have fellowship one with another. And Father, I realize tonight all of us need something from heaven. And Lord, make us in tune with what we need tonight and in tune with Your Word. So please give us ears to hear this evening. I pray as I preach the message that You've laid on my heart, that You please help me tonight. Fill me afresh and anew with Thy Spirit. We all recognize in this room, Lord, what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15, that without You we can do nothing. Amen. And we know we need Thee tonight. Yeah. So do what only You can do, Lord, in our hearts this evening. And we ask Your blessing and help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In 1980, some time ago, a 34-year-old named George O'Leary applied for a football coaching job at Syracuse University. He had coached actually a little bit of high school before that, but now he's stepping into the big time, trying to get a college team to coach. And so he turns in his resume to Syracuse University. And on his resume, he reported that he had 3 years of lettering in football as a running back at the University of New Hampshire. He also reported on his resume that he had earned a master's degree from New York University. Well, the Syracuse coaching job began for George O'Leary a successful coaching career, which actually led him into the NFL and then ultimately to become the head coach at Georgia Tech, where in 1998 he was named the ACC Athletic Conference Coach of the Year. Then in the year 2000, he was named the NCAA Division I Coach of the Year. George O'Leary had become what you might call the darling of college coaches. Then, in the year 2001, O'Leary landed what is arguably the highest profile job in college football as the head coach for Notre Dame, along with a multi-year and multi-million dollar contract. But then, his sin found him out. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, it turns out that O'Leary was never a 3-year lettering running back at the University of New Hampshire like he said he was on his resume. As a matter of fact, he never played a single game for the university. Also, he never earned a master's degree from New York University and actually only took a handful of classes at the institution. You see, George O'Leary lied on his Syracuse resume, and for 22 years, he recklessly lived the lie. Well, when O'Leary's lie hit the headlines, he was deemed morally unfit to coach college athletics, and he was immediately fired by Notre Dame. Imagine a man who seemed to be, as they say, on the top of the world, at that time became unemployed. Now, on Wednesday evenings, I've been preaching a series that I've entitled, as you notice on your handout again tonight, Wisdom from Above. And the idea has been taken from James chapter 3 that talks about wisdom. And it talks about two kinds of wisdom that exist. And again, the idea of this series is that as believers, and when I say believers, I'm talking about those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Those of us that have been truly born again. Those of us that have repented our sin and trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. For those of us that know Him, understand we have essentially two options, if you will, or two paths for living our lives. It's really quite simple. We can live by the so-called wisdom of this world, or we can live by the infallible wisdom of God found in His Word.
Amen.
That seems like an easy choice, doesn't it?
Amen.
The wisdom of this world, understand, is rooted in the humanistic ideas of unregenerate man.
Right.
It's the way they think life ought to be lived. It is the godless philosophies of this world in which man is trying to figure out this world without God.
Right.
It's all in vain, by the way. James 3 describes this wisdom of this world, what's going on out there, as earthly, as sensual, and even calls it devilish.
Right.
Pretty strong words.
Amen.
He says that wisdom, so-called wisdom, produces envy, it produces strife, and it produces confusion. Who would have guessed that? And every evil work. And God Himself calls the wisdom of this world foolishness.
Amen.
That's what He says it is. 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. But there's another choice, amen? And that is God's wisdom.
Amen.
God's wisdom is said to be pure, it's said to be peaceable, it's said to be easy to be entreated, meaning it's simple to understand, it's not difficult, it's not something that's a puzzle. It's full of mercy, it's full of good fruits. And it will, it's guaranteed by God's Word, to produce the abundant life, the joyful life that Jesus Christ promised if we follow it.
Amen.
That makes the choice easy, doesn't it? But why do we make it so hard? You know, when speaking of what George O'Leary did, the world would say this, that he was treated much too harshly. By the way, he was hired in 2002, just a little bit after that, by the Minnesota Vikings, and his career went on. But the world would say that what he did was really no big deal. I mean, what's the problem? I mean, after all, everybody lies. That's how the world thinks, isn't it? You work out there, I go out there too. Isn't that how they think? It's what everybody does. I mean, everybody pads their resumes. Everybody calls in sick when they're not really sick. All husbands lie to their wives. All children lie to their parents. Presidents lie to the American people. Politicians lie to the American people. The media lies to the public. Big businesses like Enron all lie to their stockholders. And everybody does it. That's how the world sees it. That's the world we live in. It's no big deal, you know, everybody's doing it, but that's not what God says.
Amen.
That's not the wisdom of God. If you and I are going to live by the wisdom of God, then we'll realize what we read here in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. Go down to verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to deal with tonight. That one phrase in verse 19 of something that God hates. Now, the title of the message this evening is The Wisdom of Hating What God Hates, part 5. We have one more part after this, I believe. But notice the wisdom of not bearing false witness. Now again, for the past several weeks, we have been going through each one individually. I think I took the first two together. But we've been looking at these seven things that God says that He hates. And tonight we're on the sixth one, the second to the last one. And that is, again, a false witness that speaketh lies. And so tonight what I'd like to do, I want us to see if we can ask ourselves, what is exactly meant by that? What is meant by a false witness that speaketh lies? And is it something that we do, or we can do, or do we frequently do it? And then why does God hate it? Why is it so bad? And then what should we do about it, and how can we avoid it? Lots of questions there. Hoping to answer all of them tonight. Let's begin by looking at number one, the definition of bearing false witness. The definition. Now, it is interesting to note that in verse 17, remember, we're doing the seven things that God hates. But notice back in verse 17. Notice we read, God already said that he hates a lying tongue. That was the second thing that God says he hates. And now he's saying that he hates a false witness that speaketh lies. And I wonder, is that the same thing? Sounds kind of similar, at least to me. I mean, the word lies is in both of them. Is God, maybe God's repeating himself. He does that at times for emphasis. He says something again and again. Is that what he's doing here? Or are these two different things? Well, let's find out. Now, the phrase false witness or false witnesses is found in 26 verses in the Bible. 15 of those verses, you find them in the Old Testament. 11 of those verses, you find in the New Testament. It's first occurrence, the first time you see it in the Word of God. We're going to go there in a minute, is Exodus chapter 20. And the last occurrence is found in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 15. But what does it mean? What does it mean to bear false witness? And how does it or does it differ from lying? Well, the answer is this. It is different. Slightly. You say, how? Listen to this statement. All false witnessing is lying, but not all lies are false witnesses. Are we awake enough this evening? I know you all worked some today. I know you're a little tired. Let's try it again. I'm getting the deer in the headlights tonight. I really am. Help me out. Brother Rob, help me out tonight. All false witnessing is lying, right? But not all lies are false witnesses. Now, here's what I mean. I'll explain it. Lying is a broad definition. It is when, it's real easy, it's when we make any statement that's not true.
Right.
Webster's 1828 defines lying as to willfully deceive. A falsehood uttered for the purpose of deception and intentional violation of truth. So, for example, let's say two people, let's say me and Brother Cordy were talking about yesterday, and he tells me that he went bowling yesterday. And I said, oh, that's great. He said, yeah, and I bowled a 300. Okay. Now, you all are laughing, amen, right? Okay, now, maybe he did. I'm making this up, but maybe he did. But let's say he didn't, and he wouldn't do that. I should have used someone else. I'm sorry. But anyway, it's too late. I'm already in too deep. Let's just move on, all right? Let's say he said that, and he really didn't do it. That's a lying tongue. Naughty, naughty. That's a lie. And by the way, God hates that too. He hates when we say something that's not true and something that is false. So a lie is a broad definition. Now a false witness that speaketh lies is a little different. It is a specific type of lie. While bearing false witness does fall under the category of lying, the primary idea of a false witness is when the lie is spoken about another person. You're lying about somebody. Simply put, it is when someone lies about another person to someone else. Someone states something to other people about someone that is not true. They knowingly give an untrue statement to someone about someone. We got it, right? I said enough things, right? That's bearing false witness. One commentator defined it this way. It is claiming you witness that somebody did something or said something or is something, claiming you know firsthand something against someone when you didn't witness any such thing. That's bad.
Amen.
It's when you make false statements about someone's character, or something that they've done, or something that they've said. That's what it is. It's about a person. Another Bible word for this would be slander. When you slander somebody, Proverbs 10:18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. And when someone does that, when we do that, God says he hates it. Matter of fact, this is such a serious matter that when God was putting together the Ten Commandments, right, one of them, the ninth commandment, read, Exodus 20 and verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness, notice, against thy neighbor.
Amen.
It's not just talking about lies here. It includes lies in its application. But specifically, he's talking about saying something that's a lie about somebody else. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Amen.
And God has some very strong things to say about people who speak lies about other people.
Right.
Want to hear some verses? Well, I'm going to say them anyway, so just nod. It'll make us all happy tonight. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Proverbs 19:9, a false witness, again, shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. A little bit difference there, but the same idea. Proverbs 21:28, a false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. Proverbs 25:18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Boy, lots could be said about that. But notice how God feels about that. A false witness shall not be unpunished, he shall perish, and he's called a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. But what does it mean? It means, again, someone who knowingly gives an untrue or unverified testimony or statement about somebody else. That's the definition. So we see, number one, the definition of bearing false witness. Then secondly, would you write this down? The application of bearing false witness. You say, what do you mean by that? In other words, where does this apply? Give me some for instances. Okay, I will gladly do that. Where can this sin, or where does this sin of bearing false witness take place? Well, guess what? Everywhere. Everywhere. It happens all the time. It happens everywhere. Certainly some places more than others. And there's several places that I'd like to mention tonight that the Bible talks about, and we know that it takes place. And here they are. Here's a few of them. Ready? Bearing false witness can take place in, letter A, the courthouse. The courthouse. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. I had it marked, but my marker fell out, so give me a second. Deuteronomy 19, we'll look at a verse here in a minute, in verse 15. Yes, 15. Let me just make an application. One of the primary applications of what the ninth commandment states of this prohibition in the Bible, one of the primary places it's applied is in the judicial system. Primarily the Old Testament judicial system, of which, by the way, we base much of our judicial system on as well. Because God warned about the potential of people bearing false witness in court. In other words, getting up there on the stand and testifying and saying something that is a lie. God warned about that. Look at this in verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So notice the law here says this. One witness is not enough. Why is that? I know we do a little bit different today. We have a lot more type of investigative things, the DNA and that sort of thing. But here in the Old Testament, it says just one. Why? He says one is not enough. Why isn't one enough? Because of the potential of a false witness.
Right.
Can you imagine if they said it was enough and, boy, you just didn't like somebody? You said, you know what? That person did this. And they would throw them in jail or stone them or do whatever it is they were going to do to them because of something someone said. You see, God understands that this potential is there. That there is a potential of people being a false witness in a court. Therefore, he says there needs to be at least two or three witnesses. Why is that? For a conviction. Why is that? To verify what happened. Notice verse 16, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which was wrong, then both the men between, he's going to say they're going to go to the judge, and the judge is going to make great inquisition. But look at verse 19, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. What is he saying here is this? He's saying if you're going to be a false witness, understand if you're found out to be a false witness, whatever the judgment was going to be to the man that you are a false witness against, they're going to do that to you. So if you say something that's a lie that requires stoning, and they found out you lied about it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get stoned. That's how serious a matter this thing is of being a false witness. And by the way, to verify people were true witnesses, whenever there was a capital punishment of stoning in the Old Testament, guess who were the first people to throw the stones? The witnesses. It verified that, yes, this person did that. Imagine if not, they'd be guilty of murder and so forth. And again, that can happen today as well. A false witness. It occurs in courts all over our land. It is someone who willfully and knowingly makes a false statement about a material fact while under oath. By the way, we call that today perjury. When someone stands up and says, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and then they lie about it, they can be convicted of perjury. By the way, perjury is a crime. And perjury is punishable by imprisonment. But people still take light of it, or make light of it today. Do you remember a couple years ago, how many watched the confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh? How many watched that? Brett Kavanaugh. Or at least heard the news about it, maybe a little bit of it. It was ugly. It was an ugly ordeal. Here this man, Brett Kavanaugh, throughout his entire life, displayed much character. I don't want to say impeccable because nobody is. But he had some good character throughout his entire life. And it seemed like when he was nominated, it almost seemed like it was going to be a slam dunk with this guy. And so forth. But the liberals hated him. They hated him because he believed the Constitution. They hated him because of his conservative views. And it seemed like out of nowhere, a woman by the name of Christine Blasey Ford appeared, and she testified in that hearing under oath that in the summer of 82, when Kavanaugh was 17 years old and she was 15, that Kavanaugh and a young guy named Mark Judge physically attacked her, and that Kavanaugh attempted to rape her and attempted to kill her. She raised her hand and said that was true. And as she was questioned about the incident, it became quite evident that Christine Blasey Ford was bearing false witness. She was. She was lying, trying to injure this guy. We'll get to that later. So again, bearing false witness takes place in the courthouse. Another place it takes place, and that is this, in the state house. In the state house. You know, the liberals in our government are quick to bear false witness. They're quick to slander anybody that they do not like. They'll say anything, they'll make up anything. This is one of their most frequently used tactics, and may I say, often effective tactics. I mean, think for a moment about all the lies that were hurled at former President Trump. I mean, think about the list. It was absolutely ridiculous, the whole Russian collusion and the Steele dossier. They said he was a Nazi and that he hates women and he's had multiple affairs and he hates immigrants. I mean, they accused this man of everything that they could think of. They just threw everything at him, hoping that something would stick. What is that? That's bearing false witness. There was no evidence for any of that stuff. I'm not saying he was a perfect person. I'm not playing politics here tonight. But we have to agree, they bore false witness against him again and again and again and again. Why is that? Because it's one of the most popular political tactics out there. If you don't like somebody, accuse them of something. What if it has nothing to do with them or they can't prove it? Doesn't matter. Just do it again and again and again. Hopefully, it'll change people's opinion about that person. So it takes place in the courthouse. It takes place in the state house. I could go on and on, but let me bring it home a little bit, because it also takes place in the church house. You say, preacher, does it? It does. Not everybody, but it does. It does. And it hurts the work of God.
Amen.
You know, perhaps one of the most common ways that bearing false witness takes place in the church house is this way, spreading rumors. Ooh, got quiet. Spreading rumors. You see, when you or I, if we hear something about someone, and it is not verified, and we do not know it to be true, yet we pass that information on, or we pass that story on to other people, that, my friend, is bearing false witness. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Oh, we hear something. Man, it's a juicy story. Really? Huh? And before we verify, and God forbid, we ask that person, we pass it along and pass it along. Either this way, or this way, or this way. That's how we do it. Pass it along. By the way, a lot of this, and I'll say it. COVID. Okay? A lot of that's been happening with COVID. I heard so-and-so had it. You know, they had it. I think they had it. And I saw on Facebook they were this person, and so they must have it. And they're not a church, so they must have it. And they must have it. And they must have it.
Right. Amen.
Come on, guys. We're destroying ourselves.
Amen.
Aren't we?
Amen.
Stop already.
Right.
Idea. Call the person up. Talk to them. Amen. There's an idea. Instead of passing along, you got half the church having it when it's not true. That is bearing false witness. If you're taking something someone said and you have not verified it and you pass it along, you, my friend, are guilty of it.
Right. Amen.
God hates that.
Amen.
Probably because of the next thing he hates next time we deal with that, and that is sowing discord among the brethren. You see, the world has no problem bearing false witness.
Right.
They do it. That's part of the tactics. They don't believe in God, you know, most of them. They don't have fear of God like they should. But God's people should.
Amen.
We that know God's Word should.
Right.
You see, when Christians not only believe false statements about others, but also pass them on without stopping to investigate it, we're guilty.
Amen.
By the way, I wasn't going to put this in here, but right before I sent this sheet off to Karen, I added this one. You know where else it happens? In the schoolhouse. In the school. Parents hear things about other students from your child or other parents from your child. And you pass it along. That's bearing false witness. That's bearing false witness. Listen, that is biting and devouring one another when we do that. Listen, we need to understand that this bearing false witness has a lot of different places that this happens. It happens in the courthouse, it happens in the state house, and it does. It can happen in the church house, and it can happen in the school house. We need to stop. We really do. We need to stop, because we'll see why here in a moment, which is number three. So write this down, number three. Not only the definition of bearing false witness, the application of bearing false witness. Number three, the destruction of bearing false witness. Why does God say he hates that? What's a big deal? A few little things, you know. Didn't hurt anybody. Really? Really? You know why God says he hates it? Listen, this, you know, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I don't think anybody in this room is out carousing the town. At least not that I know of. And doing stuff, you know, drugs and drinking we got that under control. It's the small foxes that spoil the vine.
Right.
It's the little verbal things that can gnaw at us, at each other. And God hates it. Why? Because it's destructive. So why do people do it? Why do we do it? Listen, we're all guilty.
Right.
We all are. Why did I say that? You know, why did I pass that? That wasn't good, you know. Letter A, write this down. It's reasons. It's reasons. Why do people, I know we could sum it up, say, well, sin nature is sin. Yeah, we're just sinners. Yes, but let's break it down a little bit. Why would someone say something about someone that's not true? Why would someone make a false statement about someone's character? Or make something up about someone, what they said or what they did? Why would someone do this? By the way, the root of it's pride. The root of bearing false witness is pride. But I'm going to give you five specific reasons that people can bear false witness, or that they do it. Sometimes people bear false witness, number one, to make themselves look good. See, if I make someone look bad, that makes me look good. That's the way we think. If I want to put down any competition, right? In friendships or in relationships, right? Keep them, you know, and make me the main guy. Guess what? I can bear false witness. Why? To make myself look good. You see, the easiest way to put down any competition is to lie about them. Say something about them. And that's why some people do it. To make themselves look good. There's another one, number two. We're enjoying this. Amen. I'm enjoying it. Now, Brother Rob's hand's getting hurt. He's writing so much. Number two, to avoid getting in trouble. And now we get that, right? To avoid getting in trouble, you get caught doing something. Hey, kids in the school, right? When you get caught, what do you do? Well, they did this and they did that and I didn't do it. They did it. You have no idea they did it because you're the one who did it. You're just trying to bear false witness. Why? To get out of trouble. So you don't get caught. Sometimes they'll accuse someone else or blame someone else for something they did. Why? To get out of trouble. That's one reason people bear false witness. I'm not gonna mar me. I'm gonna mar them. Amen. Their testimony. Number three is that sometimes people do it to gain financially. Sometimes people bear false witness to win a lawsuit. They have an opportunity, you know. Went through McDonald's line, got some hot coffee, and I spilled it on myself. You know? Wow. Ow! Hey, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. Lawyer! Ow! Man, cash cow coming! Man, the bank account's gonna be full pretty soon. You know, people go through life that way today. They look at anything, any big organization that has any kind of insurance policy or any kind of money, capital, or is successful, and some people see that as an opportunity to cash in if I slip and fall or twist my ankle or something happens. And so they bear false witness. Some people financially, this is still number three, they bear false witness to get a promotion at work. They ask you, what do you think of this guy? Oh, no, he's no good. I got a better idea. Me. Right? Not them, no, they're not good. No. To get a promotion or to somehow gain financially. Some people, that's why they bear false witness. Number four, here's another one. Sometimes people bear false witness to harm someone, to hurt them. You say, people don't do that. Wake up. They do. Christians don't do that. Thank the Lord, not many, but some do. Some do. I've seen some Christians that were really rough with people. Mean. It's just, it happens. And they want to harm someone. Maybe they don't like someone for whatever reason. Maybe they want their position. Maybe they want to get rid of them at work, get them fired. Or make them unpopular. Or make life miserable for them so they leave. That's what they do. Tell stories. Bear false witness. And then number five, some people do it to become popular. See, I know everything about everybody, and I could tell you the story about everyone. Just ask me. I'm the information booth. I'll tell you all the dirt on everybody. You know, there's people like that. They may not say it that way. I don't know. Anybody says it like that. In fact, I don't know why I just said it like that. But they do. You know, they say, oh, yeah, I'm the one. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that one. Oh, yeah. You just ask me. I'll tell you all about them. And so they become the hub of information. And it keeps them popular because they're constantly giving out false information, dirt, if you will, on other people. People do that. That's for some reasons that they do it. Again, to make themselves look good, to avoid getting in trouble, to gain financially, to harm someone, or to become popular. But notice number two, its results. So that's why they do it. What happens when they do it? Do you know bearing false witness is a wicked thing to do?
Amen.
It absolutely is. Amen. It not only deceives others, because you're saying things about people that aren't true, but it also ruins that person's reputation. And it can cause those judging a situation not to judge that situation rightly because you've tainted it with a false impression of that person. I've known people that didn't even give some people a chance because of something someone said about them that wasn't true. And it's like, why don't you like them? Well, they said this and they said that. That's not right. That's not fair. That's not fair at all. Because what they do, it damages that person. Why? Because it puts a question mark on their lives. It brings into question another person's character, another person's actions, another person's morality, and even their decisions. Why? Because of the false witness that was born about them. Now go over to 1 Kings 21. I'm not going to read a lot of this, but just, you know the story here. 1 Kings 21, what a wicked deed was done here. Amen. And it was all about being a false witness. You say, what's it about? Naboth's vineyard.
Right.
And it came to pass after these things, verse 1, that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So here he is. There's the palace in Samaria, and right next door was Naboth's vineyard. Right there. And Ahab looked out and said, boy, look at that. Man, wouldn't it be nice if, I mean, it's right here. Wouldn't it be nice if that was, we could get that? I mean, I'd have to walk around it, and it could be ours, and it'd be our property, expanded and so forth. So he went to him and he said, you know, Naboth, I'll tell you what. Could we have that? Tell you what, we'll pay you for it. He said, Oh, no. That's in the family. That's part of our tribe. We can't do that. The law says keep it in the family. Can't do that. Oh. Well, I'll pay you for it. Can't do it. Can't do it, Ahab. Oh, okay. Oh, my little honey Ahab, what's wrong with you? Oh, Naboth wouldn't give me the vineyard I wanted. I'll take care of that big boy. And what did she do? She went out and set up people, paid them to lie about him. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to take this man to court. I want you to tell him that he's blasphemed God and he's blasphemed the king. Now remember, we need two of you, not just one. So you got to, say it after me. Blaspheme God, blaspheme the king. Got it, okay? One, two, we're going to do it. We're going to take care of this. And they brought that man to court who didn't do a thing wrong. And they stood up and said, this man blasphemed God and the king, both of them. And the judge said, well, there's two witnesses, so. Naboth said, I didn't say a thing. I did not do that. I didn't. I'll tell you the story. I'll tell you what happened. I didn't do any of that. The judge said, I'm sorry. Two false witnesses. Take him out. The penalty is stoning. This man was stoned to death. Can you imagine what happened after that, what people thought about him and his family from that point forward? Boy, I thought he was a good man. I really did. He must have been a hypocrite this whole time. Because he seemed to have character. He seemed to be doing the right thing. But he must have had a secret life because, look, they found out about it. So I guess his whole family is... You see what it does? He was tried, found guilty, and stoned, and his testimony was blemished. All because somebody said something. You ever have that happen to you? Preachers always have it, and pastors do. People in the ministry, they always do. They always end up the bad guy. They do. Someone goes off and commits sin, they get out of church, and it's the preacher's fault almost all the time.
Right.
That's just the way it is, you know. But has it ever happened to you? I'm sure it has. Well, someone says something and you're like, I don't know why they said that about me. I didn't do that. I'm not like that. Why are they saying that? It's not a good feeling. And sometimes there's people who will never be your friend because of something somebody else said about you. They bore false witness. It's a shame. There was a well-known gospel singer that was picked up in Los Angeles not long ago for careless driving. They went to search his car. I'm not sure exactly why. I probably had some suspicion. But they found some white powder in it, and they booked him on a drug charge. It turned out that the white powder was some kind of diet drink mix. So he was actually discharged and from his arrest and all of that. But do you know that it was too late to stop the false rumors? Because already from the fact that he was picked up, stories were going around that this man was involved in drug dealing and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it just went like wildfire. Went like absolute wildfire. The rumors nearly destroyed his career. He didn't do anything wrong. But somebody told somebody. You see, marriages can be broken up because of false rumors that are spread. Friendships can end or never be started because of false rumors that are spread. The reputation of good, honest, reputable people can be damaged and are damaged when false rumors are spread. Entire lives can be ruined by bearing false witness against someone, by speculating about things and sharing those speculations with others, by saying either false things or unverified things about somebody. Bearing false witness is a destructive thing.
Right.
God help us, deliver us from it. It's so easy to take something and pass it along so quick before you realize what happened.
Right.
And you realize, you know what? I don't even know if that's true. God help us. Number four, and we're done. How about the protection against bearing false witness? What do we do? Well, let's go to Zechariah chapter 8. We're done. Zechariah chapter 8. The Lord is dealing with His people about this very thing. And He's telling them what to do. Zechariah 8. The two books there before the end of the Old Testament. Malachi, going backwards, Zechariah. Notice chapter 8 and verse 16. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man, watch this, the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these things are things that I hate, saith the Lord.
Amen.
You see, most Christians, as I said a few moments ago, aren't involved in drunkenness and drug addiction. Most are not. Some are, but most are not. Or fornication or adultery or homosexuality. But many, many, many are involved in slander and gossip and backbiting. Let me just say this. Social media has not helped. It's just made it easier. Because now you can hide behind a screen and send it forth. And it can go out to hundreds and hundreds of people. And you may think tonight, oh, what's the big deal? It's not that big of a deal. It is. Because bearing false witness, understand, does not reflect our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Who is the truth, right? Who cannot lie, right? It reflects actually the devil, who is the propagator of lies. And the remedy for bearing false witness is simply this, the truth.
Right.
Live by and only speak the truth. Tell the truth.
Amen.
Don't pass on unverified stories.
Right.
And take what people say about others with a grain of salt. Until you find out for yourself about what happened. Find out yourself about that person. Figure it out on your own. Get your facts firsthand.
Right.
And then make your conclusions. Don't listen to the false witness.
Amen.
Take it in. And God forbid, pass it on.
Right.
Because bearing false witness will quickly cut off God's blessings and God's power.
Amen.
In the Christian life.
Right.
Back to Proverbs and we're done. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. Listen, when you hear something, don't just accept it as truth without thinking about it, without verifying it. I mean, yeah, take it with a grain of salt. Verify it. And God forbid, be careful what you pass on. Make sure it's true. And we shouldn't be passing on anything anyway that doesn't involve a self in that person, right? God deliver us from this thing that God hates, bearing false witness. Let's pray together.